This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the Week 8 preview. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tim Murray, joined as always by Matt Newmans. Follow him on Twitter at MattNewmans247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. Newmans, you enjoyed a live football game last week and a winning bet. Does it get much better than going to a live college football game and getting a rocking chair winner like you did with USC over Michigan?
Well, I tell you what, Tim, it was a lot different than the experience in Hawaii that we had, because that was a serious sweat in Honolulu, and we felt lucky to get out alive with that Hawaii bet. This was a lot easier with USC last week, but it was actually a really strong performance by the Trojans, and Michigan was exposed. Michigan is exactly who I thought they were, Tim.
And you let them off the hook. No, I'm just
did not let
I'm
them off the hook. But yeah, I know.
All right, we have five games between ranked teams this week. First time this year, we'll have five matchups between top 25 teams. So let's get right into it.
The main course.
Yes, indeed. We call it the main course, as believe it or not, Thanksgiving will be here before you know it. Every time I go to the grocery store, Matt, they've already got the Thanksgiving fixins already out. So we're getting closer and closer. We'll start ABC, 3:30 Eastern, number 5, Ole Miss, against number 9, Georgia. Georgia last week down 10 to nothing. They get a favorable call at the goal line. They turn that into points before the half. Matt, I just want you to know, this is clapping. This is me clapping. This is how I clap. But Georgia, a 7.5-point favorite in a revenge spot against Ole Miss on Saturday afternoon between the hedges.
Yeah, I remember that game last year between these teams very well. And I think Jackson Dart actually left that game, and the backup came in. It was Austin Simmons and led a touchdown drive. Yep. You know what? I thought Georgia was the beneficiary of probably 5 or 6 big calls that went against Auburn in that game last week. And I tell you what, I don't think there's a team in college football that's been screwed by the officials more than Auburn. The game in Oklahoma, the game last week against Georgia, I'm not a Hugh Freeze fan. But I can tell you that he's got a case. He has got the worst of it from the officiating crew. I don't know if I can lay this number with Georgia. I've not really been that impressed with the Bulldogs so far. I can tell you that if I played this, I would probably play the dog, but I didn't really give this any serious consideration. I think the number's about right. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, Trinidad Chambliss and the Ole Miss Rebels last week. I was kicking myself, Matt, sitting on the couch watching that game against Washington State, thinking, God, this was such a letdown spot. Mm-hmm. I know they were coming off a bye, but they were laying a huge number against a random opponent, and they were fortunate to win that game. I'm with you. I'm going to stay off this game. For those wondering, over at VSiN.com, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can become one for as little as $9.99 right now, 76% of the bets right now at DraftKings on the dog. So as our friend Chris Felica says, beware of the trendy dog. So just pointing that out there. Matt, 7:30 ABC. We've got the third Saturday in October. Number 11, Tennessee at number 6, Alabama. Alabama, very impressive win. Both you and I liked them, like Missouri last week in that spot, and we were able to get the cover. And fortunately for me, a little bit of a double result with Alabama to make the playoff very much alive right now. They're about an 8-point home favorite. Another revenge spot. Last year, Tennessee got the best of the Crimson Tide in this rivalry. The Alabama Crimson Tide, Matt, get back in the win column against their arch rival Tennessee?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, last week on the pod, I did not use Missouri plus 3.5 as the best bet, I don't think. And I didn't use Texas either. So I actually had a better week than I did on the best bets on the pod. I was kicking myself for not using those. But I would be inclined here to play the over, if anything. This is not a type of Alabama defense we're used to seeing. That's been pretty obvious for a while. And Tennessee's pretty much all offense and no defense. Now, it's a really high total, but I could see this being a shootout in Tuscaloosa, it being a revenge game and one that the Tide's likely going to win. I would pass on the dog. This would actually be a favorite or pass. I would lean over the total here.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. Jam Miller, his status was in concussion protocol this week. The running back for Alabama, who missed the first couple of games of the year. Love this passing offense. Ty Simpson is right there with Fernando Mendoza for Heisman discussion. And I think Ty Simpson, if I were to make a bet today, I think because of the schedule that is ahead of him, has a really good opportunity to win the Heisman Trophy and the weapons at his disposal. I would anticipate Ryan Williams, after being kept in check last week, to be a high target this week here for Alabama. And as you talked about, Tennessee, their pass defense can be had here. So I think Alabama is the right side, but once again, no play for me on this one. Staying in that same window, Matt, 7:30 NBC, we've got Notre Dame and USC, a rivalry that could be going away. 96th meeting all time between Notre Dame and USC. Notre Dame 52-38-5 all time in this rivalry. They've won six in a row. You saw USC last week, Matt. They're catching 9.5, and at Circa, they're even catching 10 with a total of 61.5. What did you make of the Trojans last week at the Coliseum, and do they have fight in them heading to South Bend on Saturday?
I liked what I saw from the Trojans last week. They were physical up front. They had more speed, more playmakers all over the field, and I thought that was going to be the difference in the game. Look, Michigan does not have much team speed. Wolverines don't have many playmakers. They got a freshman quarterback on the road. And when you watch that tape the previous week of Wisconsin-Michigan, I came away completely unimpressed with the Wolverines. And we saw last week how bad the Badgers can be. Now, when you look at USC-Notre Dame, this is a totally different matchup because Notre Dame's got a really good freshman quarterback who's at home. Irish have plenty of team speed, plenty of playmakers, and a pretty good defense. And where has Lincoln Riley had his problems? See, last week he was at the Coliseum in a really good spot for USC. This week he's on the road. Riley's had, the life of Riley has not been very good on the road. And we've seen that over and over and over. So it's tempting, I think, for a lot of people to take the 10, 9.5 or 10 with USC. It's not that tempting for me. You know, I usually have plays on some of these high-profile games. I don't have a play on this one either. I got a suspicion that Circa's sitting at 10 for a reason, and this is a game that Notre Dame's going to win by double digits.
Yeah, it's pretty telling that this number went to 10. I put it out on Twitter on Monday, and as we record this on Thursday, it's still hanging out there. If you want the 10, Circa will happily take your bet. But I am not laying it with the Irish here, but you know, Marcus Freeman in these spots where he's agitated, and he's mad at USC for a multitude of reasons. Chad Bowden, his former GM, he left and talked some BS on the way out as well. DeAnton Lynn talked about how helpful Chad Bowden has been during the preparation here for this particular game. And then you've got the uncertainty about this rivalry. Marcus Freeman has been adamant that he wants to continue to play it. Notre Dame the same. USC has been less than committal. And right now, Matt, this is the only matchup right now on the books for this rivalry moving forward. I think when you look at USC and their run defense on the road against Illinois, they gave up 171 yards in that game. And when you have Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price in that backfield, a game that, by the way, keep an eye on the weather, could be rainy, could be windy. So something to keep an eye on there. I think that benefits the Irish quite a bit in this particular spot. So that's just something to note. It is also worth noting, Matt, the injuries, right? You saw it. King Mitchell, very impressive, but the depth at running back is limited for USC. They've got injuries on their offensive line, but Notre Dame's not fully healthy either, as they just lost a defensive tackle and Gabe Rubio to injury. He's out for this game. Ashton Craig, their starting center, lost for the season in their win over NC State. Matt, the defense has played much better for Notre Dame the last 4 weeks, but now when they go up in class again, will they be able to get the stops? The matchup I'm curious about is Mekhi Lemon, that stud wide receiver that you saw go for 93 yards, 9 catches, and a touchdown against Michigan. If he's lined up in the slot, what does Notre Dame do? Do they have their freshman Dallas Golden out there, or do they put their All-American Leonard Moore in the slot? I think that's kind of the matchup of the game. I do think Notre Dame wins. They're more desperate in this spot. If they lose, they're out of playoff discussion. So this is a massive game for the Irish, and sometimes the point spread tells a story. So we'll see if USC has that fight in them on the road. Lincoln Riley, I believe, is winless, Matt, in road top 25 games since he's gotten to USC.
Yeah, Tim, one note I'll make about injuries when you're handicapping teams at this point in the season. You're going to hear a lot of talk about, well, this running back's out, this tackle's out, blah, blah. That stuff doesn't mean too much, and it's not going to move the number, and it shouldn't get you off a play if you like it, unless it's a quarterback or maybe a top wide receiver, a guy like Puka Nacua for the Rams. Then it's not going to make much difference in the game. You know, last week I liked the Seahawks at Jacksonville. I'll give you an example. And all of a sudden I heard some people freaking out about Seahawks have three starting defensive backs out. I said, I'm not going to worry about that. Mike McDonald can figure that out. And he did. What did Jacksonville offense do last week? Not much of anything in that loss to the Seahawks. So unless it's a quarterback or a top wide receiver, maybe a couple other rare exceptions, I'm not going to make too much of the injuries. And I also want to note, great job by you as an Irish fan pointing out that Notre Dame has a series lead at 52-38. Nice job.
And five ties. Yeah,
that's a lot of ties, by the way.
That is a lot of ties. Notre Dame's won six straight at home, nine of the last 12, but it will be the 20th anniversary of the Bush Push game, which I was in attendance at, and that was awesome until it wasn't, Matt. All right, two more games here in the main course. I'm a bit surprised you don't have a play in this one. We've got Utah at BYU. It's the Holy War, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Our friend the Bear will be out there with his Big Noon crew, so that is great to see this game getting the eyeballs that it deserves. I've been liking what I've seen from Devin Dampier, a guy that I put a little sprinkle on preseason to win the Heisman Trophy. They absolutely hammered a banged-up Arizona State squad. Talk about a drop-off from Levitt to Sims. Woo, buddy, that was quite the drop-off at quarterback there for Arizona State, Matt. Utah laying 3.5 here at undefeated BYU.
Yeah, Tim, I'll tell you a quick story here. Pimlico Frank Carulli is the leader of the Friday Football Invitational right now by a half point over the Bear, Chris Felica. And you got to give Pimlico Frank a lot of credit because the guy has been handicapping for the past month with kidney stones. And he had to go in for surgery yesterday. Actually, went in for surgery. And doctors explained some concerns to him while he was laying on the hospital bed. And he said he was shaking like a leaf. That's a quote. He was afraid he was going to die on the hospital bed yesterday. Well, he made it out. He made it out alive. He's okay. I saw him last night. And the first thing he said to me was, who do you like in the Utah BYU game? So he bounced right back from that near-death experience to start handicapping football again. And I said, the first thing I said was, well, that number 3.5 is fishy because you're inclined to say BYU is a home dog. BYU, give me the 3.5 because I have not been all that impressed in some games by the Utes, and I know you have not either. Now, they rolled over Arizona State last week, but that was with a backup quarterback for the Sun Devils. This number must be 3.5 for a reason. I'm just going to, for now, unless I get some information or change my mind before kickoff, I'm just going to sit back and watch, which is tough to do on a great late-night matchup like this. If I've got another late-night matchup I've got to bet on, I can watch. But I'm tempted to take BYU, but I'm not going to do it because this is one of those situations where your antenna goes up and you're saying, why is this number 3.5? And it must be there for a reason. And it's not moving, right? So it's also a bad beat story from a week ago. Pimlico Frank had Arizona plus 2.5 as his best bet in the Friday night contest. I had Arizona. You had Arizona. I think Brad Powers had Arizona. And the Wildcats had that game won when Bear Bachmeyer fumbled. Ball bounces forward for a first down. What a fluke win that was for BYU. So I think this BYU team is a little bit phony, but I'm going to have to pass on this game for now.
Yeah, that was a tough one. And as you have let us know, there's a fine line between being a genius and a jerk. And the Auburn and Arizona loss on Saturday night made me feel like a big old jerk. So that was from 5-1 to 3-3, but so goes it in the world of betting. All right, Matt, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a game in where a team is a favorite for the first time since 1940. 48. And don't worry, plenty of spicy matchups and a lot of best bets coming on the other side. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, one more game in the top 25 to hit on here. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. local, ABC, 17th-ranked Vanderbilt against number 10 LSU. The look-ahead line for this game was LSU minus 3.5. And now, Matt, the market has Vanderbilt as a 2.5-point favorite. It is the first time since 1948 that Vanderbilt is a favorite over LSU, and it also snaps a stretch of 51 straight games in the SEC where Vanderbilt has been the underdog. So this is a new role for Clark Lee's squad. Excuse me. What do you make of this spot here in Nashville with Vanderbilt laying points against the Bayou Bengals?
Well, Clark Lee took that job in Nashville. He left Notre Dame, and he showed up at Vanderbilt talking about, we're going to build this into the premier program in the SEC, and a lot of people have laughed at him, which it was an absurd thing to say. But again, he's done a hell of a job here. One of the best stories in college football the last 2 years has been Clark Lee and Diego Pavia and the revival of Vanderbilt football, which has been dead for a long time. Pavia right now, 71% completions, 14 touchdowns, 4 picks. He went toe-to-toe with the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. That game got away in the fourth quarter. But Vandy's better than a lot of people thought in the preseason. This is not a one-hit wonder team. And Diego Pavia, Cedric Alexander, they can move the ball on the ground, both over 300 yards rushing for the season. You know what? When I look at LSU, I had to throw this number at you. You take out the Southeast Louisiana game, which is a joke of a game anyway. Draw a line through that. LSU's offense has averaged 19.8 points. Garrett Nussmeier, if you take out the Southeast Louisiana game, has 6 TD passes and 5 picks in 6 games. Tim, something's wrong with this LSU offense. And I did play Vandy early in the week at, I think I played at minus 2, 1.5 or 2. I can't remember. Didn't lay the 2.5. I know that. But the number, I think, is 2 out there right now. It's not going to be a best bet for me now because the more I look at this week, this is a bet I typically don't make. I hate the role reversal situation where you take a team that's always been a dog and put it in the favorites role, and usually that's a red flag. So I'm going to root for Vandy here. I'm going to root for the small bet I got on the Commodores, but I don't want to recommend that as a best bet because I think that's a risky play when you're taking a team that's always been a downtrodden underdog and making it a favorite against a team like LSU. Really interesting matchup, though, and hopefully the Commodores get it done.
Yeah, 6-point move from the look ahead to where we are now. So quite the move in those two matchups there. LSU getting the win ugly against South Carolina. We'll talk some South Carolina here in just a moment. But Matt, you know, after work on Tuesday night, I was starving and I was driving home and I said, you know what I could go for right now? A Chipotle burrito bowl with some extra hot salsa on there, get some chips, eat it. So that was my Tuesday night after VSiN primetime. And that leads me into the more intriguing matchups and a lot of best bets. So let's do that now.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
That's right, Matt. We call them the spicy matchups. You know how much we love to bet the noon Eastern window. We should have T-shirts made that say, I hate betting 9 a.m. Pacific time games. And fortunately, we were able to get a cover in the Missouri game. It was a sweaty one, but we were able to get there. I'm going back to the noon window, Matt. I believe this is the only game I have a bet in the noon window, so I will be fixated on this one. Undefeated and 12th-ranked Georgia Tech at Duke, and the look-ahead line was Duke plus 1.5. That quickly got scooped up on Sunday. Duke got as high as a 3-point favorite. They're back out to a 1.5-point favorite here against the Rambling Wreck. I've got some thoughts on this game, but anything for you in Georgia Tech Duke on Saturday?
Well, I will say, first of all, you mentioned Chipotle, and they run that commercial over and over and over, the carne asada and the red sauce. And every time I see that commercial, I'm compelled to drive to Chipotle and get the carne asada tacos, and they're pretty good. They're not great, but they're pretty good. They're a lot like Duke, pretty good but not great. And Tim, if you keep mentioning carne, if you keep mentioning Chipotle, we got to get a sponsorship for the podcast. You want to call corporate headquarters and see if you can get that done? I know you got a lot of extra time.
Maybe they can sponsor the spicy matchup.
Yeah, I know you got a lot of extra time. You could chase down sponsorships. You, by the way, you are one of the top sellers at the network. I should point that out. I think you were the VSiN Salesman of the Month for August, and you got a parking spot in the garage at Circa for that. I've been wrong on almost every Duke game I've tried to bet, so I'm going to check out on this one. I'm going to let you handicap it.
All right, Georgia Tech, they're rolling right now, as mentioned. Duke coming off a bye, though, back-to-back impressive results, going to Syracuse, dominating them, and then going out to Cal. You and I were on the wrong side of that one, but the Blue Devils traveling out to Berkeley. Yeah, I look at this Duke team, Matt, and they've been very fortunate in the turnover margin, which makes me a little bit skittish in their last three wins. They were +4 against NC State, +3 against Syracuse, and +4 against Cal. The game that they really had no business losing by as much as they did was the game against Illinois. They were -5 in the turnover margin in that one. If you look at some of the stats for Duke, they're not great in the secondary, Matt, but they're pretty decent up front stopping the run. And Georgia Tech's not a team with Haynes King that necessarily takes advantage of teams with weak secondaries. Also, look at this. The two games that Georgia Tech's played on the road, they were very sluggish against Colorado, fortunate to get a late cover as Haynes King went into the end zone in the first game of the season, and then should have lost to Wake Forest. So I was hoping to get a plus sign. You and I were talking to Brad Powers on primetime Tuesday night, and he said the same thing. But money line right now, -20. And I really like what I'm seeing right now from Darian Mensah. I know our guy Chris the Madman Massaro really loves Darian Mensah. So I'll take the Blue Devils here in a home spot as they are a favorite against 12th-ranked Georgia Tech, which makes you kind of scratch your chin and say, what does somebody know that I don't know? So give me the Blue Devils on the money line, -120. Matt, let's get to 7 o'clock on ESPN. Our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be on the sidelines in Lexington for Texas at Kentucky, and this is a fascinating spot with Texas coming off of a big, big win in Red River, and now they head on the road as a double-digit favorite.
Well, I think we have a winning record in games we play when Stormy is on the sideline, so I'm going to try one more time here. I'm taking Kentucky +13. That's the current number at Circa, and we were on Texas last week. You loved the Longhorns last week. And a lot of that was a fade of Oklahoma, too, with the John Mateer situation. You know, less than 3 weeks after surgery on his throwing hand, he's trying to go. I didn't think he was going to be very effective. And as the game unfolded, you could say Mateer should not have been out there. And no matter what you think of Michael Hawkins, he probably would have given the Sooners a better shot to win that game. Mateer was just not himself. Now, give the Texas defense some credit, too. Arch Manning some credit. Arch played well. He was not sensational, but he did play well, made a couple nice plays to help Texas pull away in the fourth quarter and win that game 23-6. But how about this? After playing the Sooners, Texas has failed to cover 6 in a row. And also, Kentucky is off a bye. And Mark Stoops is a really good defensive coach. Even though it looks like he's a dead man walking in Lexington, another coach is going to get a big buyout. Stoops' defenses give some teams some problems. Even Lane Kiffin the last couple years had a lot of problem with Mark Stoops' defenses. And right now, the Steve Sarkisian Arch Manning duo is not too dynamic. Off the big win over Oklahoma, going on the road here, I think the Wildcats, to use a word that Tim Murray likes to use, I think the Wildcats are going to be feisty dogs. I'm going to take the 13.
Feisty felines would be a better way to look at it, right?
Well, I don't know. You used the word feisty on the show about 5 times the other night, and there were people at home playing a drinking game. Every time Tim Murray says feisty, take a shot.
They're drunk.
People are hammered from coast to coast.
They were drinking some Budweiser, Matt, and they were drunk. Wow. I'm with you on this spot. I think it's a letdown spot here for Texas. I hated to see this number. I love the six straight non-covers off of Red River, but My buddy Stuckey pointed out that Mark Stoops, with extra time to prepare in the SEC, is actually 3-12 ATS. So maybe he's due in this spot. But we've seen Kentucky, to use the word again because now it's in my head, be feisty in these roles. And last year, they knocked off Ole Miss in their lone conference win.
Right.
I'm going to split my unit here, Matt. I'm going to go first half and full game. I know a lot of people don't live in Vegas that are listening to this podcast, so you might not be able to get a 7. Stations Casino, for anyone in local area, does have a full 7 there. But 6.5 or 7 in the first half on Kentucky, and then 13 for the full game. So I'll split my unit on that one. And speaking of Red River, Matt, Oklahoma goes to South Carolina, 12:45 kickoff, SEC Network. Boomer Sooner coming off of a really ugly performance, and they lost last year to South Carolina 35-9, but you're now traveling on the road, and this would be a bit of a sandwich spot, right? Red River, next week they host Ole Miss. Now you got to go on the road to Williams-Brice. It's been a disappointing season so far for Shane Beamer's squad. South Carolina catching 5.5 at home.
I did not have real high expectations for South Carolina, but I did think the offense was going to be legit. And, Tim, something's wrong with Lenora Sellers and that Gamecocks offense. I haven't watched enough of South Carolina to pinpoint what it is. I've only seen a couple of the games. But what are we going to get from the quarterback position in Oklahoma? You know, is John Mateer going to be much better this week? I'm surprised he actually made it through the game last week. And by the way, Brent Venables, are you a buffoon? You got a quarterback who's got a surgically repaired hand, and Tim, it's 23-6, and Mateer's out there running around in the final 3 minutes of the game taking hits. You're down 17 with 3 minutes to go. Get your quarterback off the field. That was insane. Anyway, I'm close to playing South Carolina here. I want to, but something's wrong, seriously wrong with that team. So I'm not on this game as of right now. How about you?
I am another split unit play because I'm not fully convinced that South Carolina is going to be able to score against this defense of Oklahoma that is absolutely legit. So I'm going to take half a play on the under 43.5, half a play with the ugly home dog in South Carolina. That offense, you know, Brett Ciancia, who joins us every Wednesday, has his pick six plus, and he has a profile in every Power 4 team. My God, is there a lot of red on the South Carolina side of their offense. It is ugly, 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 ugly this year. So you worry, how is this team going to score? But Oklahoma's offense doesn't look much better, and especially, too, with John Mateer's injury here. So it's a kind of a hold-on-to-your-butt special here with South Carolina plus the points. But I'll also take under 43.5. Matt, won't be under 43.5 in this next game. How about A&M, number 4 in the country, to Old Neck Brace, Arkansas, as Bobby Petrino got a cover in his first game as the interim head coach for the Arkansas Razorbacks. 3:30 Eastern on ESPN. I looked long and hard at the dog. I took a little nibble at 8.5. Not going to be a best bet for me here on Arkansas. What do you make of this one? Is Arkansas live against the 4th-ranked Aggies?
Yeah, it was a situation last week where I said, I'm going to wait. Maybe I'll bet Bobby Petrino in his first home game. And Hogs played really well last week, and they were right there with the shot to win. I'm like you here. I've got Arkansas written down. Actually, that was one of the first plays I wrote down this week as a possibility. But I have not talked myself into it yet. And I'm not sure if I'm going to play it. But I am leaning toward the Arkansas side here. You know, I like home dogs, and I might play the Hogs.
All right, let's get to another game. I know you do have a play on. Let's go SEC Network. How does Auburn respond to just getting their hearts ripped out multiple times this year, Matt? Oklahoma, they got screwed by the refs last week, screwed by the refs. They're going up 17-0. They're going to win that game. They're going to get a monumental win over Georgia. And instead, one play turns everything sideways. And now you've got Missouri traveling for the first time this year, Matt, October 18th, their first game. Auburn actually opened as a slight favorite. They are now a slight dog. Missouri at Auburn, 7:45 on SEC Network.
Tim, you know, I've been big on Missouri all season, and Tigers didn't get it done last week, even though they did get the cover. You should have had the 3.5 if you bet it. To me, this game is a little bit more about Auburn and which Tigers team's going to show up. I've read a couple stories this week and seen some reports of possible dissension in the locker room and that Hugh Freeze might be losing this team. If that's true, then that's going to make Missouri a pretty good bet here. I'm going to go with the steam and the move in the market, and I'm going to play Missouri as a short road favorite. I'm not going to be shocked if I come up short on this bet. Auburn rises up and plays a great game. Look, Auburn's capable. That's a team that Tigers probably should have won at Oklahoma, probably should have beat Georgia last week. But when you come up short in so many close games, sometimes the team just falls apart and goes the other direction. Hopefully that happens with Auburn.
Yeah, hard to disagree. No play for me. But that was a rough one, and I'm not sure how they respond to that because they did not respond to that turnover all that well. Matt, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we got a bunch of Big Ten games to get into, including life without Big Game James. What will Penn State look like on the road at Kinnick? It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, last week you were at the Coliseum watching Michigan get smoked by USC, and now the Wolverines are back home. Big noon kickoff there at the Big House, and they're taking on Washington, a team that I really like. Bet them preseason to make the college football playoff. Always weird to travel from the Pacific Northwest to the Midwest. Any interest in the dog in this one as Washington right now around a 6-point underdog at Michigan?
Tim, I'm not saying that Shrum Moore's going to get fired, but he's under pressure right now. And you knew there was going to be some decline in the Michigan program when Jim Harbaugh left and he took some coaches with him. And we're seeing the decline. Unless Bryce Underwood grows up really fast, Michigan's not done losing games this season. And when I said the Wolverines are exactly who we thought they were, I was talking about a team that's really down in talent from what it's been the previous 2 years. Now, Michigan's lost a lot of players to the NFL the last 2 or 3 years, and you're seeing that on the field. I just didn't see speed. I didn't see playmakers. But talking about situational handicapping, the last time the Huskies went on the road to the East Coast, they were down big to Maryland, and they rallied and won that game. But they were down big, and Maryland blew it. We've seen so many teams go from the West Coast traveling to the Midwest or the East and have trouble. I really don't want to back the Huskies here because I think this is a spot where if you're going to get Michigan, you might get Michigan's best shot here. You got a coaching staff that's under some heat. You got a team that's not playing well. And typically that means a circle the wagons type of spot for the Wolverines. So even though I'm not that impressed with what I've seen from this team, I would lean to the home favorite. But I'd probably have to play it on the money line or put it on a money line parlay if I played something like that. I actually think on a neutral, I would like Washington. But I don't like the Huskies in Ann Arbor, so I'm going to stay away from that side. Michigan is going to be a situation to watch, though, because Bryce Underwood's got a rocket for an arm. He just doesn't know how to harness it. He's not an accurate passer. He doesn't know how to play quarterback yet. I don't think he knows how to read defenses yet. He could be an incredible talent. But man, this Michigan team's got a long way to go. And that's the read I got, Tim, when I watched the Wisconsin-Michigan tape 2 weeks ago. This is a really, really bad game between a bad team and a mediocre Michigan team. And I was not impressed by the Wolverines in that one. So we'll see if they show up and play a little bit better here, but I'm not going to play the dog.
Yeah, and Washington, as mentioned, a team I really like. They've gotten up to some slow starts. You mentioned the Maryland game last Friday night against Rutgers. They got off to a slow start. Eventually, Damon Williams, by the way, he is awesome. So much fun to watch. Matt, let's get to life without Jimbo. Penn State at Iowa. Of course, the big story in college football all week, the firing of Big Game James after back-to-back losses as a 20-plus point favorite, three losses in a row going back to the Oregon game. On the road at Kinnick Stadium, this game will be on Peacock. Iowa laying 3.
Tim, I know you had high hopes for your Mark Gronowski for Heisman ticket. Would you get that at like 500-1?
I think it was 750-1, yeah.
Okay. I tell you what, if somebody told me before the season that Iowa was going to beat Wisconsin 37-0 in Madison, I would say, no way, no chance. That's how bad the Badgers are right now. I think the handicap here partly is about Iowa. And I think a lot of people are forgetting about what the Hawkeyes did against the Hoosiers. Remember when Iowa had Indiana dead to rights? If they got one first down, they were in field goal range. They're going to be able to kick a field goal to beat Indiana. And Kurt Cignetti was sweating. And you could see it. And what did Kirk Ferentz do? Three conservative play calls by the Hawkeyes. They ran the ball into the line, missed the field goal, and Indiana struck for a touchdown and won the game. But the Hawkeyes let the Hoosiers off the hook in that one. To me, this is mostly about Penn State. Which direction are the Nittany Lions going to go here after the James Franklin firing? Because a lot of those players like the coach. But you also got a Drew Auer injury. So you got a new coach, a new quarterback, and a team. You know, we talk about the dream crusher angle. This is a team that came into the season thinking national championship, right? We've said this many times. Yep. It might have been the combination of the most talented and experienced team in college football on paper. And this is going to be James Franklin's year, championship or bust. It turned out to be bust. All this team's goals have been shot to hell. So what makes you think the Nittany Lions are going to rally this week when they haven't showed much of a fight at all this season? I don't think so. FanDuel's got the number of 2.5 right now. But it's 3 at like 90-some percent of the book. So I'll just call this Iowa -3. I'm playing the Hawkeyes.
Matt, another game in the Big Ten, and I call you the Purdue Whisperer. You know this program very well. And if people know me, I like situational spots. I think this is a combination of both. Purdue catching 3.5 at Northwestern, 3 p.m. Eastern, Big Ten Network. The Purple Cats coming off of a 22-21 win as a 21-point underdog. That was the closing number at Circa. What do you make of this spot here on the banks of Lake Michigan?
You know what? Somebody asked me this week, how did Northwestern beat Penn State? Seriously, how's that possible? I don't know. That's why James Franklin's out of a job. It shouldn't happen. You know, when you lose back-to-back games to UCLA and Northwestern when you're favored by 20-plus points, you deserve to lose your job. And it's not just that. I was calling for James Franklin's firing, by the way, about 4 or 5 years ago. And there were a lot of people at Penn State who wanted Franklin fired about 4 or 5 years ago. And I heard some people in the mainstream media saying, it's a ridiculous firing of James Franklin. It's unfair. Look at his record. Look at his record this year. He beat Villanova, Florida International, and Nevada. He doesn't beat anybody good. Anyway, talking about Northwestern now, off that big win, Purple Cats are a team I like to bet as underdogs. I don't like them when they flip to the favorite role. And by the way, Barry Odom is grinding hard trying to get a Big Ten win. And unfortunately, his quarterback's turned it over a little bit too much, and that's really killing this team from getting in the win column. Purdue's been covering, not winning. I'm taking Purdue +3.5 here. Boilermakers outgained Minnesota 456-262 by almost 200 yards, but gave up 2 touchdowns in a span of like 10 seconds in the fourth quarter, one being a pick six, and blew the game. I'm seeing dramatic improvement in the Purdue running game, the Purdue offense in general, aside from the interceptions. And the defense has gotten a lot better. Barry Odom's a hell of a coach. He's going to get this thing turned around. I don't know if he's going to get a win, but I'll take the 3.5 here.
Yep, I'm with you. This is one of the first plays I made this week was Purdue plus the points. Market hasn't moved, so we'll see how this ultimately plays out. It's also worth noting Brad Powers, college football handicapper on VSiN Primetime, said this was his favorite play. If they can avoid the turnovers, as you alluded to, -9 in turnover margin in their 4 losses this year for the Boilermakers. Northwestern fighting for a bowl, so they're definitely going to be up for this game. Curious their backfield. They lost Cam Porter earlier this season. Both quarterbacks have had some issues with turnovers. Ryan Brown, 7 picks. Preston Stone has a number of picks as well, but I mean, are we really in the world where Northwestern's laying north of a field goal and what feels like a grind-it-out type of game? So another best bet for me, Purdue plus the points. Matt, quick thought on this game. Initially, I was like, ooh, Indiana letdown spot? I can't get there. Cignetti's a bully. Michigan State stinks. Boy, this is a bad football team. And they're catching 27.5 in Bloomington, 3:30 on Peacock. Indiana, number 3 in the country. I can't get there with Michigan State here, even though this lines up, as you would think, a massive letdown for Indiana.
Well, if you've been betting against Indiana, you've been taking the worst of it, that's for sure. And, you know, last week I heard the narrative over and over. I didn't agree with it, but it was Kirk Cignetti's a bully. When he steps up in class against the heavyweights, he can't get it done. Well, he hadn't had that many shots. You know, last year – he lost road games to Ohio State and Notre Dame, 2 teams that played for the national championship. This Indiana team is better than last year. Fernando Mendoza is a better quarterback than what Indiana had last year. And by the way, Kurt Cignetti is a guy who goes for the jugular. He's going to rip your throat out. He's not going to be nice about it. And he's impervious to letdown spots, it seems. And the guy's record is a favorite. It's impeccable. I don't think, you know, he's a Nick Saban disciple, for those who don't know. He was on Saban's original staff at Alabama, recruiting coordinator, offensive coach. And, man, he reminds me so much of Nick Saban. And that's why he's the hottest commodity right now in the market with all these high-profile jobs open. I think he's going to give the middle finger to the major programs who didn't hire him in the past and say, I'm staying at Indiana. Not only that, he's going to be coaching into January. So I don't think he's going to be a viable option for Penn State and some of these programs who are going to want Kurt Cignetti. The one job I thought he would leave for would be Alabama because of his ties there and the Nick Saban connection. But now that Kalen DeBoer is winning and Ty Simpson's playing well, that Alabama job's not going to be open. So Cignetti's probably going to stay at Indiana. I'm not going to bet against the Hoosiers. And by the way, things have really gone sideways for Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. You know, he was hailed as a great hire in East Lansing. And it has not happened. It's one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. Let me ask you this, Tim. If Jonathan Smith wants out and Michigan State wants to kick him out, would UCLA even want Jonathan Smith as head coach? If you're UCLA, would you want him or not?
I mean, at this point, Matt, it's hard to make the sell when he's done such a poor job at Michigan State. You know, I thought he would make a ton of sense there at UCLA, but now I've been wildly disappointed. And look, sometimes you make bad bets. Thankfully, you don't lose more money when you make those bad bets, but I laid it with Michigan State last week, and they got embarrassed by UCLA. Matt, before we take a quick break, just want to remind folks, all season long, our friends at Rainbow Authentics have been a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. They've got game-used apparel, autographs, got some trading cards today of some Hawaii football players. So check it out, rainbowauthentics.com. Beyond memorabilia, they're also committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student athletes and coaches, strengthening local communities, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. Matt, I want to show you something here. They've got, they're testing out a new product, and they want to see if people would be interested in it, the Chase Game. You think people would be interested in this shirt, the Chase Game here? I got one for you. I got one for our production crew. So if you're interested in that shirt that I just pulled up there, give me a tweet, and we'll see if we can get a couple more made at one Tim Murray. But mahalo to our friends, Rainbow Authentics, a proud sponsor of the podcast. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got some big quarterback news. What do you got, Matt?
I like the shirt. Can we get that in gray or white? I hate black shirts, especially when you live in the desert, because or in Hawaii, black shirts trap the heat. I don't like black. You don't Ooh. See teams, you know, in the middle of the afternoon when the sun's out, you don't see teams wearing football teams wearing black. Can we get that shirt in gray? And also, how about those trading cards? Can I get a Landon Sims trading card? That running back for Hawaii. I love the way that kid runs. Do you have the football cards?
I do have some football cards. I'll see if I have a Landon Sims. I will check the cards and I will bring it in to the studio here. But if you want those, check it out, rainbowauthentics.com. And they got some good gear, including this gold Rainbow Authentics hat as well. All right, quick break, Matt. On the other side, we'll talk some Texas Tech, Arizona State. Is Sam Levitt going to play?
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, Texas Tech and Arizona State preseason. This might have been thought of been one of the best games of the year, best games of the week, definitely. But we're talking about it pretty late here, and a lot of that has to do with the questions at quarterback. Sam Levitt did not play last week for Arizona State, and they got smashed by Utah. The belief is he's going to give it a go, but I have questions, Matt. Is this a situation like we saw with John Mateer, where they're so desperate that they're going to throw him out there? I would love to play the home dog here, but I just can't get there not knowing the full health status of Sam Levitt. And by the way, Matt, Texas Tech, one of three teams unbeaten against the spread this year. Texas Tech right now laying 7 with a total of 52 at Arizona State.
Yeah, I received some injury info yesterday from our buddy Sammy P, Sam Panionovic. He said Sam Levitt's going to give it a go in this game. And that doesn't make a big difference for me. I know he's going to try to give it a go, but I don't know how effective he's going to be again. And Sun Devils got steamrolled by Utah last week without him. This Texas Tech team is a juggernaut right now. I added a couple of college football futures this week. I considered Texas Tech as well. But like you said, you got on one end of the spectrum, you got Penn State that's 0-6 against the spread, and the other end, Texas Tech, which is 6-0. I'm not going to bet against the Red Raiders, to sum it up.
All right, Matt, we are going to dive into some more games in depth in a podcast only and also YouTube only bonus section. But I wanted to hit on one final game because it's brought to you by our friends Nohoku. Nohoku is Hawaii's finest jeweler since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nohoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands. Check them out, nahoku.com. They have more than 30 locations across Hawaii as well as on the mainland. So check them out for all of their different designs that you would have maybe for the holiday season. Mahalo to our friends Nohoku, a proud sponsor of the Hawaii game. And Matt, Spectrum Sports, the Mountain West app, will have this game 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Hawaii at Colorado State. You and I both stayed off of the Utah State game last week, and we were kicking ourselves late night because that was a impressive performance by the Rainbow Warriors, throwing the ball all over the yard. Timmy Chang now 18-6-1 at home as the head coach of Hawaii against the spread, Matt. Some thoughts on Hawaii and Colorado State.
Tim, you're right, stayed away from Hawaii last week, and that was because there was so much respected money in the market on Utah State. I'm not going to say sharp money because it turned out not to be sharp, but there was a lot of respected money, and that moved the number, and I said, okay, maybe they know something I don't know here. I like to play Hawaii as a home dog in Honolulu, passed on it. I'm not so afraid to play Hawaii on the mainland because, Tim, we watched the Rainbow Warriors go to Colorado Springs and handle Air Force and put 44 points up on that Air Force defense. And I think you could see something similar here. Micah Alejado's got it working again. He's got his receivers healthy. Remember Landon Sims, my favorite running back. Remember when Alejado dumped that pass to Landon Sims over the middle and he ran up to about the 20-yard line to set up the winning kick for the Tokyo Toe against Stanford? A lot of things are working for this Hawaii team right now. And it looks like Timmy Chinks would be headed to a bowl. But this would be a big win to get. This would be a really big win to get. And by the way, I don't know where that Colorado State win came from against Fresno last week. It came out of nowhere. But I will say, if you look at the box score, the Rams allowed 469 total yards. So I think the Hawaii offense can have success here. The weather is supposed to be okay in Colorado, Fort Collins, sorry. Looks like weather is going to be high 50s, low 60s, clear and sunny. Maybe a little bit of wind, but not too much. So right now, DraftKings number's 3. Give me Hawaii plus 3.
Yep, I'm with you. If you can't get the 3, maybe see if you could buy it cheap. I've seen some juice 2.5s out there. But I'll dive in just a little bit more. Micah Alejado, who had some games where you were kind of scratching your head, but he had that ankle injury, Matt. He looks healthy now, and the receivers are healthy. Jackson Harris, Pafeli Ashlock, Brandon White, Nick Senecal, all were effective in that win against Utah State. And you know, I want to dive a little bit deeper on Colorado State. 49-21 win over Fresno State as 6-point dogs. But as you alluded to, outgained 469 to 334. They were plus 4 in the turnover margin. And how about this? They stopped Fresno State 3 times on downs. So right. I'll play Hawaii here. If you do the simple math, it doesn't really line up to me. Fresno State was minus 2.5 at Hawaii and minus 6 at Colorado State, meaning Hawaii should be around a 3-point favorite against Colorado State on a neutral. And now the number is 2.5, 3 in Fort Collins. So I'll be with the Rainbow Warriors here. And this would also, they were able to get the win, clinch the win total for me. We'll dive into some of our best bets a little bit more in depth on the other side of a break, and a little bonus podcast section as well as on YouTube, Matt. But let's get to it, our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, dive into your plays for week number 8.
Okay, we've talked about all of these games on the podcast, but one, Purdue plus 3.5, Hawaii plus 3, Missouri minus 1.5, Iowa minus 3, Kentucky plus 13, and how about a late night play, Stanford plus 18 against Florida State, and I think the Cardinal can run the ball, that physical offensive line, shorten this game. And what's Florida State playing for at this point? This is another situation that's kind of unraveling on the head coach. Tommy Castellanos is not a quarterback you want to lay a big number with. And the Seminoles have injuries at wide receiver. So a couple of big dogs, a couple of small dogs, and a couple of small favorites. 3-3 last week, 20-19 overall. Need to pick it up. Should have had a better week last week, Tim.
Me too. 3-3 last week. Frustrating not to have a better week, but that's such is life sometimes. But I'll run through mine real quickly. We'll expand on a couple of these games on the other side of a break. Hawaii plus 3, Syracuse plus 11. I'll discuss that a little bit more on the other side. Duke money line, Purdue plus 3.5. Split unit with Kentucky. If you can find the 7 in the first half, that's what I was able to grab locally. 6.5s are readily available, 13 for the game. And then another split unit in the SEC, South Carolina, Oklahoma under 43.5, as well as plus 5.5. And lastly, a pure situational spot that I'll dive into as well, Florida Atlantic plus 21.5. Last week, as mentioned, 33-3, 22-22 on the year. Need to do better. And hopefully this week will bring us more victories. All right, that's going to do it for one portion of this podcast, but we do have some bonus coverage for you on the podcast as well as on YouTube.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, Matt, we just went through our best bet recap. We alluded a couple of games. I just wanted to get some quick thoughts here. We've been doing the Mountain West Minute, and one Mountain West game, the two favorites going head-to-head, Matt. And the market is betting Boise State like crazy. UNLV at Boise State, numbers 12.5. High total in this one. This will be on FS1, 3:30 Eastern. UNLV, offense is good. Defense, not so much. Any thoughts on Boise State, UNLV?
Well, the Rebels are 6-0, but Tim, it's been a really weak schedule. I don't know if you got the number on schedule strength, but Idaho State, Sam Houston, UCLA when the Bruins were bad, Miami of Ohio, Wyoming, and Air Force. Not too impressive. The 6-0 record's great. Rebels are going to go to a bowl. Everything looks good for Dan Mullen so far, but the defense. And that defense concerns me going up to Boise for this game. Last week, the Rebels really had to pull it out of the fire. They outscored Air Force 22-20 in the fourth quarter to win that game 51-48. Tim, Air Force had 603 total yards, 428 rushing yards. That's going to keep me off UNLV here. I thought a couple weeks ago I was going to be able to make a case for betting the Rebels in this spot. After watching that defense last week, I'm not going to do that.
127, according to Sagarin, is the strength of schedule for UNLV. He includes FCS teams as well in that. Boise State 76th in schedule strength. This is one of those games that's a bit head-scratching when you think about the look-ahead line being 8.5 and no real massive result having last week, and now we're up to 12.5. I wanted to mention this one quickly. Is this a sell-high spot on UCLA, or are they a juggernaut? UCLA now laying 3.5 against Maryland. How does Maryland, Matt, get off the mat after back-to-back covers but losses, blowing a 20-point lead against Washington, blowing a 10-point lead last week against Nebraska? Curious game. Thought about Terps, but ultimately a pass for me. Two games I want to hit real quickly, Matt, before your thoughts on the late-night slate. Pitt at Syracuse, ACC Network, 7:30. Pitt's coming off of back-to-back wins with their new quarterback, Mason Heinschel. I was, mispronouncing that recently. Heinschel, by the way, 54 of 74, 737 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, Matt. He's been pretty impressive, including a win last week as a double-digit dog at Florida State, 34-31. Syracuse, since they lost Steve Angeli, have seemingly lost their way. Ricky Collins has stepped in. He's thrown 4 picks and 2 starts. They did have a bye week, and their coach, Fran Brown, is adamant. There's no quarterback controversy. Ricky Collins is our guy. Here's the thing about Pitt. They're great at stopping the run. Well, Syracuse does not run the football. I'm going to hold my nose and take a double-digit dog here off a bye with Pitt being fat and happy. And look, Narduzzi gets his team up for big games and tends to lay down for easier games. So I think this is a tricky spot for Pitt now laying double digits on the road. And then situationally, Matt, this is the sandwich spot part two. South Florida last week goes to Denton. They beat North Texas, look very impressive in doing so, 63-36. Next week, they play Memphis in a massive showdown for the teams with the two best odds to make the playoff out of the G5. This week, they have to face Florida Atlantic, who is a team who can score, but very shaky defensively. This is the highest total of the college football season, 73.5. I'm going to take 21.5 with Florida Atlantic and hope that the Owls can get into the back door here and maybe keep things a little bit feisty against a South Florida team that might be potentially peaking ahead to next week. So two kind of ugly home, two dogs. Florida Atlantic is on the road. And then speaking of ugly dog, Matt, late night, 10:30 Eastern, ESPN, you've got the Cardinal of Stanford against Florida State.
I do. I'm taking the 18. Our buddy, the madman, the Boston Strangler, Chris Massaro, says Stanford's going to win this outright. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not afraid to fade Florida State. I can't remember the last time the Seminoles won an ACC game. Ben Gulbranson, the quarterback for the Cardinal, we saw him up close. He's a game manager. You just don't want him to make the big mistake. What I think the Cardinal can do here is use that big physical offensive line and running of Micah Ford and shorten the game, run the clock, and kind of grind down the Florida State defense. I just wonder at this point, Tim, how much motivation there is for the Seminoles. They've lost some big games. Obviously, the win over Alabama in the season opener looks more and more like a fluke. If they played that game again, Alabama would probably win by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Florida State right now, 2-4. With wins against Stanford's 2-4. Wins against BC and San Jose State, and really needed a miraculous comeback to beat San Jose 30-29. Gulbranson actually passed for 444 in that game, which is crazy. But I think it's a good spot here for the home dog. And there's not much of a home field advantage for Stanford because the crowd's small and the crowd's pretty quiet. But again, it's Seminoles needing to travel from East Coast to West, playing a late night kickoff against an opponent they probably don't respect much, and all their goals for the season have been shot to hell. So I think Stanford plus 18 should be a pretty good play.
All right, Matt, let's go back in time. We'll go to Friday real quickly. Is this going to be the spot where Jeff Brohm rises up and gets a big-time win? If you look at the history of Jeff Brohm, whether it was at Purdue or a couple of instances at Louisville, he has done so. Let's run through them real quickly. 2018, 7.5-point dog. They were 0-3, Purdue was, against Boston College. They won 30-13. 2018, you remember this game well, 13.5-point dog at home against Ohio State, number two in the country, 49-20 win. 2021, Matt, 11-point dog at number two, Iowa. They won 24-7. Also in 2021, at number home to three, Michigan State, they won that game 40-29. They beat Minnesota and Illinois, both around touchdown underdog roles in 2022. At Louisville against Notre Dame in 2023, 6.5-point dog, 133-20. And then last year, as an 11-point dog at Clemson, they won 33-21. Jeff Brohm thrives in this role. They're both coming off a bye. Will Louisville on Friday night in Miami be a feisty underdog?
Okay, I'm just going to have to take two shots here because you used the word feisty twice in the last 5 minutes. So everybody at home, do a shot of Jack Daniels and do another shot, double shot. Tim, I took 14 with Louisville early in the week. I think you and I talked about this game about 10 days ago. I said, if I can get 14, I'll take it with Jeff Brohm here. So I did. And it's 13 painted across the board in the market right now, so did not use this as best bet on the podcast. But I think the 14 is going to come back on Friday when you have a popular public favorite like Miami. A lot of people think this might be the best team in college football. So I think be patient. The 14 might come back. And I might put a little on Louisville on the money line here too. I'm going to give Jeff Brohm a shot to pull a stunner. He's a better coach than Mario Cristobal. And Brohm is a better bet as an underdog than he is as a favorite. We know that. You just ran through a bunch of the results. Brohm 23-8 against the spread as a dog of more than 4 points, and 7-0 ATS in that situation off a loss. Also, if you look at the Virginia game 2 weeks ago, Cardinals are off a bye, which is good. Brohm's had time to prep for this game, which is better, but they're 4-1 off a bye. They lost to Virginia 30-27 in overtime. That was a crusher. There was a reversal on a call, a fourth and short. Brohm kicked a field goal in overtime. Bad mistake, and you knew Virginia was going to win at that point. But again, the Cavs scored on a 61-yard fumble return and a 47-yard interception return. Louisville outgained Virginia 383-237. Miller Moss has not been playing great at quarterback, but he's got it in him, and he's got a couple of playmakers around him, and I think Jeff Brohm's going to have a great game plan here. So Louisville plus 14 is my play.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I bet 14. No need to rush. I think you will get a 14, hopefully, on game day, but we'll see if Louisville – I won't say it. I won't say the F word here. I think they will be a competitive dog in this spot. Worth noting here real quickly, just before we get out of here, keep an eye on the status of Cade Klubnik, quarterback of Clemson. There was a report that showed up on Thursday, Matt, that it seemingly sounded like he would be out due to that sprained ankle he sustained against Boston College. We saw the market go from 9.5 down to 5.5 in favor of Clemson. So keep an eye on that significant quarterback injury there as Clemson hosting SMU on Saturday. Looks like Cade Klubnik, based off of the movement in the market, could be sidelined. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. It was a lengthy one, lots of best bets, and hopefully we have ourselves a winning week. Thanks again to Wyatt Tomchek and Ryan Hunter, our two producers of the podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps us out as we climb up those iTunes rankings each and every week. And also on YouTube, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.